We're going to start here at the bottom of Chaf Chedem with Bet. We're just going to go over the Mishnah again quickly and then continue with the Gemara. The Mishnah says, Charmei Kohanim, Ein Lehem Pidayon. When it comes to the Charamim that are given to the Kohanim, you cannot redeem them. Ela Notnaim, the Kohanim, Kitruma. Person has to give them to the Kohanim like Truma, meaning that they're a Matnat Kehuna that's given to the Kohen. And that's based on the Pasuk in Vayikra Chav Zayin. When it talks about the Charamim, it says, Ach, Kocherim, Asher Yacharim, Ish Lashem. Mikol asher lo me'adam ubehema umisteach uzato lo yimacher velo yigael. Chazal tell us that that's speaking about charmei kohanim and says lo yimacher velo yigael. Person cannot redeem them, cannot sell them. He has to give them directly to the kohanim. Yehuda ben Matir omer stam charamim the berek abayit. If a person says charam without defining what that charam is, he doesn't say charam kohanim or charam leberek abayit. The stam charamim go to berek abayit. That's what a person means when he's machrim something. On the other hand, of course, the Chachamim, we'll see in a second, disagree and say Stam Charamim that are to the Kohanim. Shenemar. Because he quotes the Pasuk, the end of the Pasuk that we just quoted from Vayikra, which is, Kol Cherem Kodesh Kadashim Hu LaHashem. All Cherem is Kodesh to Hashem. And that would mean Berek Abayit. Chachamim Amrim, Stam Charamim LaKohanim. On the other hand, the Chachamim believe if you say Cherem by itself without any modification, that means that you want to give it to the Kohanim, because the pasuk says by makdish stei achuza vaya sadeh b'tzeito biovel kodesh l'Hashem kistei acherem lakohen tia achuzato. So kistei acherem lakohen, a stei acherem normally goes to the kohenim. Shnemar kistei acherem lakohen tia achuzato. You also have the pasuk in Korach which says that kocherem b'Yisrael l'chayyeh, that all cherem in klal Yisrael will be to you, which refers to Aaron u'banav to the kohenim. So that indicates that stam chamarimim go to the kohanim. Imken laman amar kocherem kodesh kodeshim hu Hashem. Then the rabbanon, where they do the pasuk of Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira, shechal al kodesh kodeshim val kodesh kolim, to teach you that there is such a concept of being machrim or being makdish something that is already kodesh. How does that work? Machrim adam et kodeshav ben kodesh kodeshim ben kodeshim kalim. Im neder, if the korban that he's bringing is a neder indicates that he has personal responsibility to ensure that that korban reaches the mizbeach. That means he's on the hook for the entire value of that korban. If that korban doesn't end up in the mizbeach, he's going to have to replace it and bring another korban. Therefore, to him, the value of this korban is its entire value. It's the value of the animal. Therefore, notain to mehem. If he was machrim, that kodesh, that neder, then he brings the whole value because that's what it's worth to him. Vim nidava, if it's a voluntary offering, where the only responsibility he has is once he's mafrish the animal, that animal is kodesh, but he no longer has any personal responsibility, then if the animal gets lost, he's not responsible to replace it. The only thing he missed out on was giving a gift to Hashem, bringing such a korban to Hashem. And that's exactly what he'll pay. Notein et tovatan. He gives the value of how much someone would give in terms of giving a gift to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, if they had an opportunity, and they said to him, give a couple of dollars, give a couple of shekel, and you can give a gift to Hashem, a person would definitely do that. So we have to figure out where that value is. And that the Mishnah gives an example of, shor zeh ola, which is an nidavah, this shor is an ola, no personal responsibility, the shor itself is Kodesh. Umdim, kama adam roteh leitein b'shor zeh laloto ola. Figure out how much would a person want to give in order to give this sure, as an ola, as a voluntary offering, as a gift to Hashem, afal pi she'eino rashai. Now, rashai over here doesn't mean that he's not allowed, but rather he's not chayav. Even though he's not obligated to bring a korban, what would he pay if he was just passing by and someone said to him, here, how much would you give this to be your korban? So that's the amount of money that you would owe, because that's exactly what the differential in value is between the korban ending up on the mizbeach and not ending up on the mizbeach. In terms of personal responsibility, you have none. There's no monetary obligation in terms of the korban. The korban gets lost, it's not your problem. The korban gets on the mizbeach, it's not your problem. But there is a difference between if you successfully get the korban on the mizbeach versus if it's not. How much is that value worth in terms of getting the doron, getting the gift onto the mizbeach? And that's what you'll pay in terms of being makdish or machrim, that extra value. Habechor, how do we assess a bechor? Ben tam ben balmum, who does the bechor go to? It's given to the kohen. So therefore, machrimim oto, you can be machrimit, the ketzad podim oto. How do you assess the value of a bechor? Umdim, kam adam rotzeh leitein bebechor zeh, leitno leven vito o leven achuto. How much is someone willing to pay in order to have this be given to their grandson or their nephew who is a kohen? Now, it can't be a kohen who does this, even though the kohen is paying an individual to give it to his son, his grandson, and it's not for him personally. Nevertheless, since it's ra'ui, he could have taken the bechor. Therefore, we consider it to be a kohen amesayer begranot. It looks like he's helping out in the Goren in order to get the Matnot Kiuna. So therefore, we don't allow Kohen to do this. But Israel, who has no rights to this Bechor, he can pay someone off and say, listen, can you give this to my grandson? The Kohen who receives it, it's a benefit to him. So So therefore, there is a value in giving that to a particular Kohen. The Baalim, the owners of the animal, have that right. They can distribute, they can give the Bechor to whomever they want. So therefore, if you pay them in order to give it to a particular person, there's a certain value in that. That's what's called Tovat Hana'ah. And therefore, if you're Makdish, a Bechor, that right that you have in the animal, which is the right to give it to whomever you want, has value. That's the value that you're Makdish, because that's your ownership in the Bechor. And therefore, if you are Machrim, a Bechor, you will pay that value to Hekdesh. Now, Tan Rabbanan, Charmei Kohanim, Ein Lahem Pidayon, V'notnim L'Kohen. The Charmei of a Kohanim have no redemption. We read the Pasuk already, V'lo Yimacher, V'lo Yigael. V'notnim L'Kohen, and you give them directly to the Kohen. Charamim, Hozman Shehem Bebeit Balim, Arein Hekdesh L'Chol Divrihem. While they are still Charamim in the house of the owners, they have a din of Hekdesh for everything. Meaning, Shenamar Kocherem. There's no word Be Yisrael in the Pasuk. It says, Kocherem Kodesh Kodeshim Hu L'Hashem. A cherem belongs to Hashem, but that is only before it reaches the Kohen. Natnan the Kohen, then the Chol Divrihem Kechulim. Once it reaches the hand of the Kohen, for the Kohen it becomes like a Matnat Kuna, and he can do whatever he likes with it. It becomes Kulin in his hand, and has no residual Kedusha once it reaches the hand of the Kohenim, Shinemar, Bocherem Bisrachel, the Chayyah. The puzzle we quoted before from Korach, which is any cherem Israel, the Chayyah, becomes yours. It's your possession. It's the Kohen's possession to do with it what he likes. And Tosafot in other places mentions that the Kedusha that we're speaking about over here, when it's still in the hands of the Baalim, has a sense of Kedushat Aguf. It's a real Kedusha. It's not just, oh, it's Kadosh, and has to end up with the Kohen. It's Kadosh to the point where it has a sense of Kedushat Aguf. And then only once it's given to the Kohen is that discharged, is that removed from the item, and it becomes Chulim in the hand of the Kohen. And that we quote from the Psukim, both here in Vayikra and in Bamidbar by Korach. Rabbi Yehuda ben Matiro Omer Stam Charamin LeBerakabayit Bishul Rabbanon Kedem Afarshei Tamayu V'Taimo De Rabbi Yehuda ben Matiro. The Rabbanon's position is explained in the Mishnah. They explicated on it in the Mishnah. First of all, they say their source, their pasuk about why Stam Charamin goes to the Kohanim. And number two is they dealt with the pasuk of Rabbi Yehuda ben Matiro and told you what they do with that pasuk, that it's for Hekdesh Yilui, for Makdish, something that's already Kodesh. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Matiro, Haikistei Acherem Mayovidle. What does Rabbi Yehuda ben Matiro do with the pasuk of the Chachamim? We know he has the pasuk of Cherem Kodesh Kodeshim Hu LaHashem, so we understand why he thinks Stam Charamim are LaHashem. But what does he do with the pasuk of Kisteach Cherem LaKohen Tiach Huzato? That sounds like Stam Charamim go to the Kohen. The Mishnah never tells us what he does with that pasuk. Mar says that he uses it like Daniel Kisteach Cherem LaKohen Tiach Huzato. That the Kisteach Cherem is for the Kohen and it will be like an achuzah for him. Ma Talmud Lomar. What's going on in this pasuk? The Pashtu, the pasuk, is coming to teach you that a stei achuzah that you are makdish has the same din of a stei acherem. And a stei acherem goes to the Kohen. And just like the stei acherem goes to the Kohen, so too the stei achuzah, if it was sold after you were makdishit, or possibly according to some of the Tanaim, if even if you were not goelit and the yovel comes, it's mitchalek the Kohanim. You learn that out from the fact that it says that the stei achuzah is a din, kestei acherem, that goes to the Kohen. We learned earlier in the Gemara that the Kohen is a gzera shava, la Kohen from Gezel Ager, to teach us that it goes to the Kohen, it's distributed to the Kohanim. So the din of stei achuzah is like stei acherem. But then it also says in the Pasuk, stei acherem la Kohen, ti achuzato. The Gemara here is going to say, or the Bright is going to bring, and we're going to have it later on at the end of the Masechta, the fact that there is also a limud in the other direction, that stei acherem learned something from stei achuzah. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda ben Matiro uses this pasuk for. If a kohen received a field that was a cherem, Israel took his field and he was machrim it, and he gives it to the kohen, whether he said stam charmim or whether he said it's a cherem la kohen, and now he gives it to the kohen. The kohen goes ahead and is makdish that field. The field is a stei achuzah for the kohen now. It becomes his property. And if he's makdish it, he's allowed to do that. But what happens if, in the interim, he does not redeem it from Hekdesh? And the Gizbar, the treasurer of Hekdesh, sells it to a third party. So now it comes to the Yovel. What happens? And the Yovel is mitchalek the Kohanim. But maybe not for this Kohen. The Kohen, we know, has a din. First of all, we'll learn this later in the Masechta, Gulat Olam Tieh, Lelevim, that he has a right to redeem it forever. That's number one. And number two is, he's a Kohen. So maybe when we say mitchalek the Kohanim, he's already a Kohen, so maybe we don't have to distribute to the Kohanim. So that's what the Braita is coming to tell us. That's not true in this case. in the end, it's going to go out to the Kohanim at the Yovel. It's already with me. I'm a Kohen, so let it stay with me. Vidinu, when it's a Kal v'chomer, b'shel acherim, ani zocheh. I am zocheh with others' property when it comes to the Yovel. If it gets distributed as the Achuzah b'Yisrael that was not redeemed, gets distributed to the Kohanim, and I'm a recipient, b'shel etzmi lo koshkein. If I already, it's mine, then certainly I should get it back at the Yovel. Tamad omar, k'steir acherim, le Kohen tia Achuzato. What do we learn out from Stei Acherim? Miata. Harizeh Bal Lamed. It came to teach us a din, but him Salamed and ended up learning from it. So Stei Acherim came to teach us about what to do with the Stei Achuzah of Israel, but now Stei Acherim is going to learn out from Stei Achuzah of Israel. Lamed Mekish Stei Achermo, the Stei Achuzah Shel Israel. That a Stei Acherim of a Kohen has the same din as a Stei Achuzah of Israel. So even though normally a Stei Achuzah of the Kohen is not governed by these rules, and he can redeem it forever, nevertheless, in this particular case, where it's a stadeh that he received through a cherem, if he's makdishit, he'll have the same rules of a stei achuzah of Israel, and that means if a third party redeemed it, and it came to the Yovel, and the Balim never took it back, it will be distributed to the Kohanim, and not go back to that Kohen. Ma stei achuzah shel Yisrael yotza mitachat yado mitchalek b'kohanim, av stei chermo yotza mitachat yado mitchalek l'echav ha-kohanim. Later on in the Masechta, they'll have a different limud for this. And over there, Tosafot and the Rish Rashi tried to reconcile between these two lumudim. We'll get to it when we get to the end of the Masechta. V'idach mecherem hacherem. The pasuk says by stei achuzah, it says Lashem kistei hacherem. That extra hey teaches me this din, that the fact that a stei acherem, that a kohen is makdish, has the same din as a stei achuzah of Israel, and I still have la kohen tiyeh achuzato, that stam haramim go to the kohen. That's the way the chachamim will learn. V'idach and Rabbi Yehuda ben Deira cherem hacherem lo mashmalei. That extra hey is not a limud for him. It's not an extra aeneas letter, and therefore he doesn't learn from it. Rabbi Yehuda ben Metera dechal al kodshei kodeshim al kodshei kalim minole. Where does he have the din of the rabbanon about hekdesh iluy? The ability to be makdish something that is already kodesh. Where does he learn that din out from? Sabalei k'Rabbi Shmuel. He learns it out from the upcoming mission, like Rabbi Shmuel, who learns it out from a stira in Bechor. In one place it says to be makdish, one says it doesn't to be makdish, and the reconciliation according to Rabbi Shmuel is that you're allowed to do hekdesh iluy. So his source will be that of Rabbi Shmuel in the upcoming Mishnah, not what the Chachamim learned over here from Kol Cherehem, Kodesh Kodeshim, Hul Hashem. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Alocha, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. The Alocha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, that Stam Charamim are Lebedek Abayit. For Rav, Shavik Rabban, Barik Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, why is Rav Paskin like a Dat Yochid? Why is he leaving over the Rabbim? So Gemara says, Breita Ipcha Tanyo. He found a Breita that has the exact opposite formulation, that the Chachamim are in the position of Yehuda ben Beteira, and Yehuda ben Beteira is the position of the Chachamim. Gemara says, still, Shavik Matnita and Babi Gebreita, why would he give up on our Mishnah and follow the prescription of the Breita? So Rav Matnita Nami Ipcha Tani. Rav also had our Mishnah reversed. Gemara says, Mai Chazit Apcha Matnita and Mikami Breita. Why did he flip our Mishnah to reverse the positions of Mishnah to conform to the Breita? Not bich breita mikami matnitin. Flip the positions in the breita can conform to our Mishnah. So Rav Gamri Gomer, he had a besora that was the case. So the Gemara says he achi k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira k'Rabbanan mibaylet. And obviously the loch is not like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. The loch is like the Rabbanan, because for him that position is the position of the Rabbanan. So achi kamar, he says lamay abdachitu, the fact that you have a shibush in the Mishnah and it's flipped around b'tanitu and you learnt it that way, aloch k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. The way you have the Mishnah formulated, aloch is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. Even though I think that that's the position of the Chachamim. So how Gavra, Dichurminu, Linichse, Bipumpadita? It was an individual who was machrim all of his possessions in Pumpadita. Ata, the Kamei, the Rabbi Yehuda, I came in front of Rabbi Yehuda to find out what to do. Amalei, Shakul Arba'azuze, Va'achil Alayu. Take 4 zuz and be podeh all the property, Vishadinu Minaro, and then throw them into the river, Vishtarilach, and everything will be mutar to you. So now a couple of things. Alma, number one, Kasavar Stam Charamim Lebedek Abayit. It's clear that he thinks that Stam Charam goes to Bedek Abayit, because otherwise there's no Pidayon. He could give it to a Kohen, but there's no redemption. The fact that he's allowing redemption shows you that he thinks Stam Charamim Lebedek Abayit. Come on. And then who does he say here that you can redeem it, not at its fair value, but with just a couple of coins? That's Kishmuel. Damar, Shmuel has a principle, Hekdesh Shaveh Maneh, Shichelo Shaveh Pruta Mechulal. That Hekdesh, if you're podeh it with a pruta, even though it's worth much more, it still works. The chilul of Hekdesh does not have to be for equal value. It can even be subpar value. Gemara says, Imar damar Shmuel shechilo. That's only true, Shmuel says, b'di'evit. If you did redeem it that way, it works. The chatchilo mi amar? He wouldn't tell you the chatchilo to go redeem it at a subpar value. Gemara says, Hani milei b'zman shebeit ha-mikdash kayam. That's when the Mikdash is still extant. Over there, the beneficiary is Hekdesh. So the chatchilo, we say, redeem it at its full value. But if you did it b'di'evit, not its full value, it works. On the other hand, here, there is no value to Hekdesh. The Ikab Seda, all the money is going to get thrown out anyway because nothing to do with Hekdesh, better go buy it today. Therefore, we minimize and we say Shmuel's Din, even the Chatchila, just redeem it for whatever it is and then throw it out. But when it comes today where there's a Pseido, even the Chatchila Shmuel's Din applies. Then follow Shmuel the Gamre. Why are you asking for 4 zuz? Have it be a pruta and that's it. Say Pesume Milta. He wanted to make it a public issue. Now the Shita Megubetzet over here explains that we don't say that by all Bidayon, we don't say that by all redemptions. For instance, Kerem Revai, Maisur Sheni, we use a pruta without any problem, and we redeem on those coins. That's no issue whatsoever. So why over here do we not allow it? So he says, because Haramim have a call. Haramim are public issues, and we want the public to understand that you have to redeem it, and it can't be Nenemi Hekdesh. So therefore they did a larger sum of money, so that Bidayon would also have a call, just like the Haram has a call. One would offset the other. By Kerem Revai or Maisa Sheni, which does not have a kol, over there we allow you to redeem it even for a pruta, which is our practice today when we redeem Maisa Sheni and Kerem Revai, we redeem it on a pruta because of Shmuel's din and because the money is going to go to waste, it's going to get thrown out anyway. The other thing Tosafot notes over here is that in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, it says that if you're machrim something today, that you have to let it rot. You can't use it, you can't redeem it. You're not allowed to do haramim today, and if you do it, you have to let it rot. So why don't we say the same thing over here? So Tosafot distinguishes and says, Tzarech lomar, de dafka me metaltim, kamar dir kavu. That when it comes to metaltim, we say let it rot. Dolati bilu de takala, because they'll rot quickly, and nobody will come in to have a problem with them. Imamtina nachir kavu. Say, if you wait until they rot, a couple of days, it'll be done. And everybody will know that it's kodesh, and v'hacham karke ari. We're talking about real property that's going to be around forever. At some point, someone's going to forget that this is hekdesh, and they're going to have hanah from it. So over there, we tell you to be podeh. So there's a difference between real property and metaltalim. By metaltalim, we're going to tell you, let it rot, let it go bad. By karka, we're going to tell you, go ahead and redeem it so that it doesn't become a takala in the future. Amar Ula, Yahweh Atam. Ula says, had I been there, and I was asked to give the psak and not Rav Yehuda, I would have given it to the Kohanim. Rav Yehuda is a Talmud of Rav, Paskin like Rav, that the din's like Rav Yehuda ben Metera, that Stam Charamim go to the Berek Abayit. Ula says, I think the Halacha is Stam Charamim le Kohanim, and I would have given it to a Kohen. Alma Kasavar, Ula, Stam Charamim le Kohanim. It's clear that Ula holds that Stam Charamim go to the Kohanim. Meitavei, this is according to both Shitot. We have a question. Ein Eved Ivri Noheg, Elo Bezman Shor Yovel Noheg. Eved Ivri, the din of Eved Ivri, is only applicable, or a Jew can only be sold as an Eved Ivri when there is a Yovel. And that comes out of Perek Chof Hei in Vayikra. When it speaks about an Eved Ivri, it says, Kesachir ketoshav yeimach ad shnat yovel yavodimach. He'll work with you until the Yovel. So there's this inextricable connection between Yovel and Eved Ivri. And since there's no Yovel today, there also is no din of Eved Ivri. Shneimar ad shnat yovel yavodimach. Vein sedei hachuza. This is a problem here in the Girsa. It's not sedei acherim, but ain't sedei hachuza no heget. Elav ziman she yovel noheg. Stei achuza is only applicable when the yovel is noheg. Shenamar. So it says again in Vayikra Chav Hei, when it talks about a person who sells his stei achuza, that he has the right to redeem it until the yovel. It's the subject of the next parak that we're going to learn about how a person redeems a stei achuza based on a defeasance of the purchase price over the number of years to the yovel. But over there at the end of the parsha it says veyatza biyovel b'shav lachuzato. If he doesn't redeem it at the end, the yovel will return the property to him. Which means that only when the Yovel is around is this din of Giron Kesef apply. And that's what Rashi says. Din steachuza shetenig elad bigurua, the right that the seller has to redeem it at a diminished price based on the purchase price a number of years to the Yovel, only applies when there is a Yovel. When there's no Yovel, the buyer can make a decision when he wants to sell it, and he can sell it at any price he wants. We can't force him to do anything else. And the same thing with Makdish Steachuza. The din of being Makdish Steachuza, that you redeem it based on the fixed price, is only applicable when the Yovel is practiced. When there's no Yovel in practice, then you have to redeem the field at its full value. Ein batei arei chuma noagim, ela bezman she yovel noeg. Batei arei chuma, the din of batei arei chuma, houses within walled cities, only is applicable when there is a yovel, shenemar. There it says, lo yitze be yovel, that the sale of a house is permanent in a walled city after 1 year. Within the first year, the seller has a right to redeem it from the buyer, and then after that year it becomes fully the buyer's, and it doesn't go out in the yovel. So again, this connection between yovel and batei arei chuma. That means that this right to redeem the house within the first year is only true when the Yovel is around. When the Yovel is not around, we're not force the buyer to return the property to the seller if he comes up with the redemption price. Because this din about the Yerei Chumah only applies when the Yovel is around. This is the question on our sugi over here, that steich haramim is only applicable when there is a yovel. Shinamar, as it says, vaya hasadeh b'tzeito b'yovel, kodesh l'asuhem, steich harem l'koin yeh. So that was the puzzle that we quoted about makdish steich huzah. But you see over there that the steich harem is connected to the yovel. So a harem only applies when the yovel is around. When there's no yovel, we don't have a din of haramim. So over here, we don't have a yovel. This is talking about in Pumpedita, after the Churban HaBayit, many years after the Churban HaBayit, there is no yovel. And yet, whether you hold like Rabbi Yehuda and you're making Stam Charamim to Bedek HaBayit, or like Ula, Stam Charamim to Kohanim, it shouldn't be in practice. There is no yovel, so why is there a din of Charamim today? Moshim and Lazar Omer, in Ger Toshav Noeg, Elo Bezman Shoh Yovel Noeg. The din of a Ger Toshav, which is found in Sefer Dvarim, which is that you have a requirement to support a ger toshav. Pasuk says, "Lo tazkir eved el adonav asher yinatzel alecha mim adonav imcha yeshev bekir b'cha b'makom asher yivchar b'chad sherecha b'tov lo tonenu." That the ger toshav, you have to treat him and you have to take care of him. You have to support him. That's the din of a ger toshav. What is a ger toshav? Rashi over here says a ger toshav is someone who accepts not to worship avodah zarah, but he still eats nevelot. This happens to be a subject of major machloket arishonim as well as amoraim. A ger toshav, some say is that he has to accept the seven mitzvot b'nei noach. Some say that he just has to accept not to worship avodah zarah. But in the time that the yovel is noheg, a ger toshav has a very specific classification. He's not considered an akum. He's considered a ger toshav. And we have an obligation to help him out and to support him. That obligation only exists when the yovel exists. How do we know that? Amar Abibi, my time, atya tov tov. He has a gzer shav of tov tov. Tivacha ki tov lo imach. It says here by the Eved Ivri, ki tov lo imach, he's going to want to stay past his 6 years until the Yovel. Tivaltam, and it's written over there by the ger toshav, the pasuk that we just read, but tov lo, lo tonenu. So therefore we have a gzer shav of tov tov. Rashi actually says that the gzer shav is based on the earlier part of the pasuk, which is, imcha yeshev bekir b'chav, ma'makom yeshev b'chav, b'chad sherecha, but tov lo, lo tonenu. And Rashi says it comes from the Gzer Shava and Imcha. Kitov lo imach and Imcha. That's the Gzer Shava of Imcha Imcha. And that's how we get the limud from Eved Ivri that's only noeg during the Yovel. So too, Ger Toshav is only noeg during the Yovel. Nevertheless, still a kasha on both positions here because we're Mishum Bar Yochai, that there shouldn't be any charamim when there's no Yovel. Rashi says lo kasha. Habim mekarke. Habim metaltale. There's a difference in din between karka and metaltalim. By karka, no din of charamim. By metaltalim, there is a din of haramim. The case of pumpedita is a case of karka. Land or real property in chutzlaretz has the same din as metaltalim in Eretz Yisrael. The din of haramim, that it's inextricably connected to yovel, is only a din in karka. That's what the pasuk says. The pasuk's found by magdish te'achuza, saying about karka. By karka, you have to have the yovel around for there to be a din of haramim. By metaltalim, you can have charamim even when it's not the yovel or the novel is not in practice. Over here in Pumpedita, it was a case of karka. Where it says, no problem. Karka in chutzlaretz has the same din as metaltalim in Eretz Yisrael. Just like by metaltalim in Eretz Yisrael, even without the yovel, you can still have charamim. So too, karka in chutzlaretz has a din of those metaltalim. Now again, we'll still have the distinction of Tosafot. Even in chutzlaretz, there's a difference between metaltalim and karka. By karka, you would do a pidayon, you redeem it. By metaltalim, you let them be yerakev, you let them rot, because again, the issue of takala. But in chutzlaretz, whether it's metaltalim, whether it's karka, they have the same din as metaltalim in Eretz Yisrael, which still have the practice of charamim, even when there's no yovel. But nevertheless, there'll still be a distinction between what we do with charamim of karka in chutzlaretz versus charamim of metaltalim. That was the Tosafot we discussed earlier. The last Mishnah in the Perek, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Ketuv Echad Omer Taktish, Ketuv Echad Omer Lo Yaktish. We saw this back in Bechorot. One of the psukim by Bechor says that you should not be makdish. That's the end of Sefer Vayikra in Perek of Zayin. The pasuk says that Bechor, Ach Bechor Hashem Yivukar LaShem Be'mema Lo Yaktish Ishoto Imshorim Se LaShem Ho. It's automatically Kodesh, therefore lo yaktish. You do not have to be makdishit. Don't be makdishit. On the other hand, in Sefer Devarim, it says, Hazachar taktish l'Hashem, that you are makdish to Bechor. So how do I reconcile between the Torah's psukim? One place it says you are makdish to Bechor, one place it says you're not makdish to Bechor. So if Shalomar taktish, you can't say you have to be makdishit. Sharei Kvar Nehmar lo yaktish. It says you're not allowed to. If Shalomar lo yaktish, you can't say that you're not allowed to be makdishit. Sharei Kvar Nehmar taktish. You should be makdishit. Hakeitzad, how can I reconcile this? Makdisho atai gdei shilui. You're allowed to be makdishit on top of the hekdesh that already exists. It's the same din that we saw before in the previous mission of the Chachamim. They learned that out of Kol Cherem Kodesh Kodeshim Hu LaHashem. Here, Rabbi Shmuel learns this out of the stira in the psukim in Bechor. that you're not allowed to be makdishit, meaning it's automatically hekdesh, min arechem. On the other hand, once it's kodesh, you can be makdish, the value or the ownership you have in that. And that's again the tovatana, the ability that you have to distribute it to any kohen you want. That has value, and when you're makdish it, that's what you're makdish. But you're not allowed to be makdish for the mizbeach because it's kodesh min arechem. V'rabbanan, the rabbanan, there's no al yakdish, it's lo takdish that we found in Vayikra Chav Zayin, mibayle the lav. They need it for a lav, to teach you there's a lota say. You're not allowed to be makdish it, not allowed to be meimirit. You can't exchange it for another korban, you can't be makdish it. There's an isur lav to do such a thing. So Gemara says, takdish mibayle, and what do they do with the takdish? The Gretanya, for the bright, Nayan should no lado bechor bedro, should mitzuved akdisho. How do we know that if a bechor is born in one's flock, that he should be makdishit? Shedemar zachar takdish. You be makdishit. Even though it's kadosh min arechem, there's still a mitzvah on you to be makdishit. The same way like by Shabbat. By Shabbat, where Shabbat is kitchen v'kaimo, it happens automatically that it's kodesh. Nevertheless, we make kiddush. We still are makdishit, even though it's automatically kodesh. So too by the bechor. Even though it's automatically kodesh min arechem, there's still a mitzvah to be makdishit. So the chachamim will learn out hekdish iluy from the pasuk of kol cherem kodeshim hu l'Hashem. They use the words lo taktish and taktish for something else. Taktish to teach you that even though it's automatically kodesh, there's still a mitzvah to be makdishit. And lo yakdish to teach you there's an iser to exchange the bechor for another korban and try to be makdishit for another korban. V'rav Yishmo, I lo makdish le lo kadosh. If he's not makdishit, isn't it kadosh automatically? Why do you have to be makdishit? Kedushatom irechem avo. It's automatic. When it's born, it's kadosh. Gave into kilo makdish le kadosh. And since if he's not makdishit, it's automatically kadosh. Lo tzarech lakdishinu. He doesn't need to be makdishit. He argues on his premise of the chachamim that there's any value in being makdish something that is automatically hekdesh. Okay, with that, we end the perek. Alright, now we begin the next perek. The next perek is speaking about memkar, mekach u'memkar, about business transactions, whereas the previous parak dealt with the issues of stei achuza with regards to being makdishit. Over here, we're dealing with the issues of stei achuza with regards to transacting in a stei achuza, and that's found in the psukim in parak chav hei in Vayikra. I'll read you the psukim. They're found actually in two locations there. The first one is found in pasuk tedvav mispar shanim achar yovel tikneh. Person will buy a field from someone who owns it based on the number of years that have already transpired since the last yovel. May eight amitecha, may mispar shnei tvot im karlach. He'll sell it to you based on the number of crops, number of years left until the next yovel. Lefi rova shanim tarbe miknato. If there are many years left, the price will be higher. Lefi ma'ota shanim. If there are few years left, tamid miknato, then the price will be lower. It's a leasehold. It's basically renting, leasing the property until the next yovel. So the more years left, the more you're going to pay. Less years left, less you're going to pay. Ki mispar tvot um karlach. He's selling you a leasehold. He's not selling you ownership. Don't cheat each other, don't overcharge, because it's clear that the sale price should relate to the upcoming yovel. Then, subsequent to that, in Pasuk Chavei, again it says, Ki amuch achicho machar mechuzato. Why would anybody ever sell their stei achuza? It's because he became poor, he became impoverished. Then his close family will come and redeem it on his behalf. Ve'ish ki lo yelo goel. If he has nobody to redeem it on his behalf, but he comes into money, he's able to raise the money now to redeem it, now he has the ability to buy back the field. He calculates how long was the leasehold for. Say there were 20 years until the yovel. He sold it for 200 shekel. That means that he sold it for 10 shekel a year. Now, 10 years later, he comes up with the money. How much is the leasehold worth now? Well, if you charge 10 shekel a year, now you have 10 years have expired, 10 years left to the Ovel, that means there's 100 shekel of value left here. He can redeem it based on that 100 shekel on the Odeif, that which is left over. Ve'im lo matzah yado, if he doesn't have the ability to buy it back, te'yashiv lo v'yamim karo b'yad ha'koneh oto ad shnat yovel, it'll be with the leaseholder until the Ovel, ve'yatzah b'yovel v'shav l'chuzato. It'll go out in the Ovel and return to the original owner. That's what this Mishnah is discussing over here, is that topic, which is, ha'mocher tzadeh v'shat yovel. Someone who sells a field at the time of the Yovel, eino mutar ligol pachot mishtei shanim, cannot redeem it with less than 2 years. Meaning it has to stay in the hands of the buyer for at least 2 years, shenamar. Because the pasuk that we just read before, which is v'mispar shnei tuvuot im karlach, he's selling you shnei tuvuot, a minimum of 2 crops, 2 harvests. Haitash nat shidafon v'yirakon, it was a year, he sold it to him. And in the first 2 years, there was either a blast, some wind came along, yirakon, there was some sort of disease in the crops, Oshnat Shvi'it, or was it Shvi'it when the fields lay fallow? Eino Oleh Min HaMinyan. That doesn't count towards the 2 years. 2 years have to be 2 years where there are crops available. On the other hand, Neira, if he plowed it and left it fallow, or Hovira, he left it fallow entirely, Olo Oleh Min HaMinyan. That's his decision. Meaning that if the field had the ability to produce in that year, that's not a problem in terms of counting years. The only question comes up, if everybody's fields were taken out and were destroyed somehow, the crops were destroyed, those don't count. Or it's Shvi'it, where nobody plants. But if it's something that you made a decision not to plant, we're not going to penalize the seller that he can't redeem it within that year. Tosfot points out that when we talk about here, Shidafon, Yerakon, whatever it is, a locust plague, a flood, a wind blast that ruined the crops, it has to be something that happened in a broad swath of area. Can't be just in this valley that happened that way. Because it's Domiel Shvi'it. That's like Shvi'it, where everybody practices Shvi'it. So it's something that has to have broader implications, not just a parochial view in this valley. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Machra lo lifnei Rosh Hashanah, v'im le'ya perot. If he sold it to him before Rosh Hashanah, and it's at the harvest, and it's full of perot, harizeh uchel mimena shlosh tvuot b'shtei shanim. He can eat 3 tvuot, 3 harvests over 2 years. He got it right before Rosh Hashanah. He goes ahead and he harvests what he bought. Then he gets 2 years minimum. So he gets 1 year, another harvest. Another year, harvest. So what Rabbi Elazar is teaching is you don't have to give it back the way you got it. You don't have to give it back with the harvest in it because you got it with the harvest. You can harvest that third harvest and be within that minimum of 2 years. There's no requirement that you return the field exactly the way you got it in terms of being full of produce. You give it back the field after it's harvested. So there's a possibility in those 2 years, if you bought it right at the harvest and it was still full, that you could actually get 3 harvests out of 2 years. Now the Gemara begins. The Mishnah doesn't say that he shouldn't redeem it. It says it's not permissible for him to redeem it. Meaning that within the first 2 years, he's not allowed to redeem it. Not that he shouldn't redeem it. He's not allowed to redeem it. Alma, kasavri isura namiika, that there's a restriction against redeeming it. Even if he pays more money to the guy and he shakes money in his ear and says, listen, I'll give you a lot of money, give it back to me. He's not allowed to do that. It's a sword to take it back in the first 2 years. How do we know this? So lo mi bai mocher de kaiba say, the mocher we know, the seller we know has an assay not to return it if they be mispar shnei tuvot im karlach. Because you sold it to him for a minimum of 2 harvests. So you have a demand that you leave it with him for 2 harvests. Hello, feel a little chaos. Even the buyer has a restriction to return it within the 2 years. Kaiba say de binan. Because it says over here, and he quotes from the pasuk, "Be mispar shanim achar yovel tikneh." So Gemara darshins shanim tikneh. You have to buy it for years, meaning a minimum of 2 years that you have to buy it for. Therefore, there's an assay on the lokeach and an assay on the mocher that it must remain in the hands of the buyer for a minimum of 2 years. Itmar a mocher sadeo b'shnat yovel atzma. What happens if someone sells their field in the yovel itself? Rav amar mechura v'yotza. It's sold, it'll come back to him. He sold it, and now it comes back to him. Shmuel Amar, in a mechura, kolikar, it doesn't work. The transaction's invalidated from the start. My time with the Shmuel. What's the reason in my Shmuel's position? It's a kal v'chomer. Ma mechura kvar yotza. Something that was sold prior to the Ovel gets freed, returned to the owners on the Ovel. Sheinu mechura, something that wasn't sold yet before the Ovel. Eno din shaloti macher, then certainly shouldn't be able to be sold. The Ovel works to free prior sales, then certainly should work to redeem or free sales on the Ovel itself. Ulu Rav lo amrinan kal v'chomer, ki ay gavno. Rav doesn't subscribe to this kal v'chomer. Vatanya, yochol yimkar adam et bito kishi ne'ara. I would think a person could sell his daughter to be an ama ivriya when she's a ne'ara. Parshat Mishpatim, it says that a father has the right to sell his daughter as an ama ivriya. We know that's only when she's a ktana. But when she turns into a Nara, when she has Simanim, she goes free. When she's a Ktana, she can go free in a number of ways. She can buy her way out. She can hit the 6-year mark and be freed. Or she come of age, have 2 Simanim, and leave. So now, the Kavachomer that we learned from that. Amar, it's Kavachomer. Ama Mechura Kvar Yotzak Shav, she goes out now. Ama Ivriya was already sold when she reaches of age, she comes to be a Nara, she goes free. Sheina Mechura, if she wasn't yet sold as an Ama Ivriya, I know Din Shalot Timacher, certainly she shouldn't be able to sold as an Ama Ivriya. If someone's already Ama Ivriya, is freed when she reaches Simanim, if she already has Simanim, it should be clear that you can't sell her as an Ama Ivriya. And that's what we paskin. Even Rav agrees to that Din, that a Nara does not qualify to be an Ama Ivriya. So where it says, Hatam lo hajra mizdavno, hocha hajra mizdavno. There's 2 different issues over here. Because by an ama ivriya, a father only has a right to sell his daughter as an ama ivriya once. When she's sold once, it's over. So over there, when the simanim come, it frees her, And therefore, the father cannot sell her again as an Ama Ivriya. It's a one-time sale. Now, Tosvot points out that this is a machloket with regards to an Ama Ivriya, whether a father can sell her twice. Machloket Tanaim, whether you can sell her twice. But nevertheless, even according to the one who says you can sell her again, that's only true if she hasn't reached the point of Simanim. If she has Simanim, he can no longer sell her. That's a freeing of the Ama Ivriya, which is no longer in the parsha of Ama Ivriya. So over there, Rav says you can have this principle, this Kal Vachomer. Since getting Simanim takes her out of the parsha of Ama Ivriya completely, therefore the Kal Vachomer is, if she has yet to enter the parsha of Ama Ivriya, certainly she can't enter now, because Simanim take her out of the parsha entirely. Over here, that's not true. Buy the field, even though the field comes back to you, you can go ahead and sell it again. I mean, the field coming into your possession is something that you can sell and sell again and again. So therefore, the parsha of Stei Achuzah is not done now. It continues on after this, and therefore the Kal Vachomer is not valid. Just because you sold something before the Yovel, it's freed in the Yovel. Now we start a new parsha. You're allowed to sell it again. And so you can sell it during the Yovel, or you can sell it after the Yovel. It says in the pasuk, based on the number of the years after the Yovel, you can buy it. What sounds like that you can only sell it after the Yovel. Achara Yovel. That doesn't say during the Yovel. So samuch Yovel. Tells you that you can sell right immediately after the Yovel. Muflak min Yovel minayin. How do you know you can sell even many years after the Yovel? Tamalomar. The fi rov hashanim. The next pasuk, which is taber miknato. The fi ma'ot hashanim. Tamit miknato. Ubshnat yovel etzma lo imkor. But when it comes to the yovel itself, you can't sell it. This goes against Rav. You have a brayta here that says you can't sell it during the yovel. V'machar ina mukhura. And if he sells it, it doesn't work. Amalacharav ina mukhura the mispar shnei tevuot. It's not sold based on the normal process of a stei achuzah, which means it's sold for the leasehold, for the harvest that come up. Hava mukhura hi v'yotza. It's sold, and then it comes back to him. He sells it, he gets the money, and then the field will come back to him. So according to that, viz devunim is dafna, the Gemara says, if it is a good sale, tikum b'shuter batar yovel. Let it stay in his possession until after yovel. Batar yovel nikle shnei tvot. He'll get his two tvot after the yovel. And then he'll go back to the owner. Milo tanyo, don't we have a bright achla shana achat lifnei yovel, mashlimim lo shana acheret achar yovel. We have a bright that tells us, if he got the field for 1 year before, he gets it for another year after the yovel. Even though the yovel returns the field to its owner, nevertheless, since he is entitled to a minimum of 2 years, if he only got 1 year before the Yovel, he gets an additional year after the Yovel. So say the same thing when he sells it in the Yovel. It's a good sale. It'll come back to the owner automatically, but he gets his minimum of 2 years after the Yovel. It says, in the case that you bring from the Braita, over there he already started to eat the field. He got it for 1 year. He used it for 1 year. Therefore, he gets the additional year afterwards. Over here, when he sold it on the Yovel, he never gets that right. Since he never gets the right, the Yovel frees it immediately, and he doesn't get the benefit of the 2 years. Amar Rav Anan, Shma Mina, Demar Shmuel, Tarte. I heard two things from Shmuel, and I don't know what the din is in each of these. Chada Hach, one of them is our din over here. V'idach, Amocher Avdo, Loved Kochavim, O Bechutz Laretz, Yetzei Lecherut. Person who sells his Eved to a non-Jew, or he sells him to go out to Chutz Laretz, Yetzei Lecherut. He goes free automatically. So here we have one din about buying a field during the Yovel. The transaction is nullified. And we have another one here where the Eved is sold to a non-Jew or to Chutz Laretz, he goes free. Chada Hadrei Zvine, one of them, it's a Mekach Batel, meaning that everything is comes back, the money comes back, and the whole exchange is nullified. Chada Lo Hadrei Zvine, in the other case, the money stays with the seller, but the transaction is undone. Lo Yadana Hamine, and I don't know which one is which. Now, Rashi asks on the spot, wait a minute, I can tell you which one is which right away. Because what's the difference between Rav and Shmuel? Rav and Shmuel both agree that the field comes back to you on the Yovel. If you sell it in the Yovel, it comes back to you. Rav just says it's a good sale, so the money stays, and the field comes back to the owner. On the other hand, Shmuel says that the Mekach is Batel, and that you not only do you get your field back, but the money is returned. So that's exactly the difference between Rav and Shmuel. So I know for sure that Shmuel holds that when is it Mekach Batel? That's the case of Yovel, because otherwise he's going to be exactly like Rav. So Rashi answers over here that there's a distinction. There might be a distinction between them. Rav says that there's a real transaction here. There is a mecher. There is a transaction that happened. Just the field returns to the original owner, to the seller over here. On the other hand, if Shmuel holds like this other din, which is that the money stays and the field goes back, but there was no transaction that happened. So the nafka mina between them will be whether there was a real transaction or not. In both of them, you would agree that the money stays with the seller. Rav says because it's a real transaction. And Shmuel will say, because it's a matana, it was a gift. And then both of them agree that the property goes back. So there is a way to learn Shmuel, that he'll be distinct from Rav, even if he says that the money stays with the seller. What's the nafka mina of whether it's classified as a sale or not? That, as Rashi points out, for instance, if the buyer went ahead and cut trees out of the field, Did he own the field or did he not own the field? According to Rav, there was a sale here. He owned the field. He could take the trees off the field. It was his and he has to give the property back. According to Shmuel, the transaction never went through. The money was gifted, but the transaction never went through and he'll have to pay him back for the trees that he took. Or if he used it as a kinyan agav, he bought metaltalim and karka together. And we know from the Gemara in Kedushin that you could do Mishnayot and Kedushin, you could do a kinyan agav, which means that you can be koneh metaltalim agav karka. So over here, did he have a transaction in karka so that the metaltalim come along? According to Rav, yes. According to Shmuel, no. So that's why the stuff fake exists. So even though it seems obvious that Shmuel holds that the mekach is batel, there's a distinction that we can draw between Rav and Shmuel over here that Rav Shmuel could even say that the money is left with the seller, and nevertheless the property is returned, and he'll still have a distinct opinion from Rav. So I'm Rav Yosef, next to Anna Midatanya. I can show you which one it is from the bright Amocher. Avdo b'chutz laretz, yotze l'cheirut. Person sells his eved in the chutz laretz, goes free. Vitzarech get shichrur, but he still requires a document of freeing. Rabo sheni, from his second owner. Shma mino. The karlein is sheni rabo, ama lo hadre zvine. So you see over there that since he's called the eved of the second owner, v'chi kamar shmo hocha, ene mechura, umaot chozrim. And when he says it over here, that it's ene mechura, it's not sold, meaning on the yovel, Ma'ut Chozrim, you get the money back. In our case of the Ovel, it's a nullification of the transactions. If the transaction never existed, therefore the property is returned and the money is returned. By the Eved, it's a Knas. And therefore the Eved goes to the second owner, and he becomes property of the second owner, and he's freed from the second owner. It's the second owner's Eved now. He paid the money, he loses the money, and the Eved goes free. Over there, it's not a nullification of the transaction. The transaction exists, but the Eved goes free. And the monies remain with the first owner, and the second owner is penalized. So Rav Anan, how come Rav Anan didn't know this? Braita lo shmiele, he didn't know about the Braita. Amoraim know all Mishnayot, or expected to know all Mishnayot. But with regards to the Braita, they weren't aware of all Braita. So here he wasn't aware of this Braita. Uri Shmuel mi maita ena mechura o ma'ot chozrim. Dilma ena mechura o ma'ot matana. How do you know what it means ena mechura that we nullify this transaction, that the money is returned? Maybe we nullify the transaction and the money is a gift. Mide dahava mekadesh achuto. From the Gemara Kedushin, someone who's mekadesh, who marries his sister, you're not allowed to marry your sister, and therefore the kesef kiddushim you give, what happens? He's makdish, he goes to be mekadesh his sister, he gives her money in order to be mekadesh her. The kiddushim are not chal, because it's impossible. It's something that has a chiyuv karet associated with it. They're automatically nullified. Dinmar amekadesh achuto rav amar ma'ot chozrim, you get the money back, it's a nullification. Shmuel amar ma'ot matana, the ma'ot stay with the sister, it's a gift. Why? Because everybody knows that you can't be mekadesh your sister, and therefore he gave the money as a gift. So in the end, we don't have clarification of this. We know that in the case of the Eved, it is a full-fledged transaction. The money stays with the seller. The second one loses out on the Eved, and he loses out. In the case of Yovel, it's unclear to us here. We know that the land comes back, but in terms of nullification of the transaction, we don't know if that means that the money comes back as well, or the money is gifted, as Shmuel has that halacha when it comes to Mekadesh Achoto. So I'm really a buyer of Yosef. Rabbi says to Yosef, my chazir de kantzina lelokeach, ne kantzina lemocher. The one who did something wrong here was the seller. He sold the Eved into chutz laretz. He sold him to a non-Jew. Why are we being kones, the buyer, and not the seller? What do you mean? Who steals the food? When you have a mouse that takes food or steals something, he runs back into the hole to hide with it. So who is the thief here? Is it the achbar that's the thief or the hole? It's the hole that's the thief. So too over here. Even though the seller is the problem, the only reason that the seller can do this is because the buyer made it accessible to him. He bought this. Wait a minute. Without the seller, the buyer is nothing. So too, without the hole can't steal by itself. It needs the achbar to steal. So mistabra echodite li sura kansinon. Where it says it's just a matter of convenience. We can only be kones, the place where the item is. Meaning that the eved is now found with the second owner. That's where we can create the knas with the second owner. So whoever is in possession of the problem, that's the person who gets the knas. Even though truthfully, we should have been kones the first person as well. But now, since the Eved is with the second owner, that's where we have the Knas, and that's the one he goes free from. He's automatically freed. He needs to get Shichrur from the second one, but he's automatically freed, and the monies will stay with the seller. So hashto vira olalo nerami ba'ile. So what do I mean? In our mission, it says, if he left it totally fallow, it counts. Then if he plowed it, you have to tell me that he counts towards his ears? No, Neira eats trichle. I need the plowing to teach me. At least pay him for the plowing. He did you a benefit. He plowed the field for you. So fine, he didn't plant it. But at least pay him for the fact that he plowed it for you. So the Gemara says, Kamash Malon, that he gets nothing. That was his year. He chose just to plow it. That's his problem. You don't owe him any money because he didn't use it properly during that period of time. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Minayin Shimachra Lo Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, Amleya Pirot, Shlo Yomar Lo Anach Lefanai, Kederach Shanach To Lefanecha. You should give it back to me the way I gave it to you. It was fully loaded when I gave it to you. It had a harvest in hand. So you have to return it to me that way. Because it says in the Pasuk, Mispar Shnei Tvot Im Parlach, that by the number of Tvot, it will be sold to you. Pamim Shadam Ochel Shalosh Tvot B'Shtei Shanim. There are times where a person gets 3 harvests out of 2 years. So Rashi says, Mashma Kol Tvot Shibishtei Shanim. Pasuk says, Mispar Shnei Tvot Im Karlach. You get Mispar Shnei, you get 2 years. Tvot Im Karlach, whatever Tvot come out in those 2 years, you get. That's the way Rashi interprets it. The Gemara brings this in other places. Over there, it's also Machloket, exactly how we learn it out of the Pasuk. So it was a Machloket Rashi and the Tosafot back on Daf Yud Chet Amud Bet actually had to get this out of the Pasuk. Rashi there writes, Shnei Tvot, Kevin Dichtiv Shnei. Shnei Tvot, B'mashma. So Tvot Lamali. Since it already says Shnei, why do I need Tvot? Tvot is extraneous. Anything that's found over those 2 years, he gets. So the actual word Tvot is what teaches me this din. On the other hand, Tosafot over there says, Yeshlomar, the Darish me mispar. The Mashna Shnei Tvot. The word mispar is a minimum of 2. A number of. A number of has to be at least 2. And therefore, why do we need the word Tvot at all? It should be mispar Shnei for a couple of years. I would have known that it means a couple of years of Tvot. So what does that mean, Mispar Shnei Tvuot? That comes to teach me, that extra word of Tvuot comes to teach me that the Tvuot are not captured by the 2. It's the 2 years, but the Tvuot can be as many as you want. Okay, we'll stop over here.